Hi, this is Tim Lightfoot, the director of the Huff Heinz Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance. I am so excited to let you know that the Huff Heinz Institute now has apps for your smartphones and your tablets. We have apps for the Apple products and for Android products. You can go to iTunes or go to Google Play, either one. Download those Huff Heinz apps, and you can pull in our content every week. Now, on to the podcast.
Welcome to the Sports Medicine Podcast, brought to you by the Sidney and J.L. Huff Heinz Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance in the Department of Health and Kinesiology at Texas A&M University. At the Huff Heinz Institute, we're always working to facilitate, apply, and bring you the most up-to-date coverage of the wide world that is sports medicine and human performance, all in a language you can understand and share with your friends. And now, here's our host, the director of the Huff Heinz Institute, Dr. Tim Lightfoot.
Well, hello, and welcome to the weekly edition of the Huff Heinz Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance podcast. I'm Tim Lightfoot, your host, and I'm so glad that you took the time to join us today. So just a little heads up to our listeners. Make sure you listen to the end of the podcast so you can hear the epilogue from the story that you're going to hear during the podcast. Every week we bring in an interesting person from the world of sports medicine and human performance, and this week again is no exception. Today we have Mr. Ben Compton with us. Welcome to the podcast, Ben.
Well, thank you for having me. It's awesome.
Well, we're so glad to have you, and I'm going to tell the audience a little bit about you.
Awesome.
And so they know why you're here.
Great.
Some of you may recognize the name Ben Compton. Ben is a senior here at Texas A&M. He has spent most of the last 4 years as his alter ego, Ben Compton, the football player. He was on the Aggie football team, and in this past year, his senior season, he played both fullback and center. He has probably one of the distinctions of playing more different positions here at Texas A&M than anybody else. Just to give them a little bit of background, came in from high school as offensive lineman, was switched over as freshman to nose guard on the defensive side of the ball. As a junior and sophomore, he was the backup center. And then as senior, he was also converted to play fullback, and he played fullback quite a bit, as well as playing center as well.
Yes, sir.
So Ben was the winner of the Coach's Choice Award, and that award is given to the senior who best represents integrity with mental toughness, respect, trust, and loyalty. And currently, Ben is finishing up a university studies major in sports conditioning. So again, welcome to the podcast, Ben. It's great to have you on.
Yes, sir. It's great to be here. I've been listening to your podcast for a while now, and it's awesome to actually be on one.
Well, super. Well, we're glad to have you. So let's just get started. You know, so much of the attention that you get revolves around your football career. So what has it been like to be a student athlete? If you think back 4 years when you came in as a freshman, let's just start with what has surprised you the most?
I think the thing that surprised me the most is the amount of time that goes into being a football player. Mm. Not only being a football player, but being an athlete too, because the academic part of it takes up just as much time as the football part. You come in thinking that you're going to be on the field for a couple hours a day, and it ends up being you're in meetings, you're in workouts, you're in practice. It's just a lot of different stuff that you have to do for the program, and then you got to go home and work on your homework and study for tests at the same time. It's a lot different than being a normal student, which is what I'm kind of having a taste of now. And just the amount of time that goes into football is just so much different than high school.
You completed your 4 years. You're doing some internships now in the strength and conditioning program, if I know correctly. And then you're also preparing for pro day because you want to have a pro football career after this is over.
Yes, sir.
And so in the next couple of weeks, we were just talking about you're going to have the pro day is here, and then you just start that journey as well. So you're not done with an athlete, but you are done as a regular day-to-day member of the football team, right?
Right. As a student athlete, I'm done, but it's got to continue. Hopefully it continues for me in the NFL, and if it doesn't, I'm going to try and be a part of the strength and conditioning staff here and work with Coach Jackson and his staff, which is what I've been doing for the past couple weeks now, and I've really loved it. It makes getting up easy in the morning, and I just want to be able to help this team get as good as they can.
Now, that's something I think that over the last 10 years, I'm not sure how much the lay public really understands about the strength and conditioning side of the game. Any athletics game has really ratcheted itself up. Strength and conditioning is not a 3-month deal in the summer anymore. It's a year-round deal.
Right.
Right?
Right. It actually just got passed that the summer workouts are mandatory now. Mm. They used to be voluntary when I first got here, and I think that changed a couple years back where summer workouts are now mandatory to be a student athlete.
So if you're a student athlete, you're 12 month.
Yes, it's a full it's year round.
It's year round. It's a full time job almost.
Yes, sir.
How many hours a week would you guess that you put in on the football side of things? We know according to the NCAA, it can be no more than 20 hours. So we're going to be safe and say 20 hours. Right?
Yeah. Voluntary, I think you put in a lot more with the coaches and with the staff. You put in 20 hours, and they maximize that 20 hours. But voluntary, you go in and you watch film on your own. You get extra workout in. You can't just learn every play in the playbook and get stronger in the same time with just 20 hours. So you got to make yourself do more.
Yeah.
And I think having the older guys on the team helps a lot with that, because whenever I was a senior, I was able to get some of the young guys in there, teach Zach Ledwick and the new guys, the new freshmen that come in. I kind of teach them the plays on our own time. And we were able to get going in spring ball whenever we hit the field.
So we'll come back to the football part a little bit, but then how do you maintain your academics like that? If you have all this time that you're over there basically working, how do you do that? Is discipline, does the athletic department have ways to help you with that?
Yeah, we have a ton of help with the Learning Center. We have great learning assistants. Ms. Lee Hood is in charge of all that, and she sets up everything perfect for us. Anything we need is provided for us. I mean, we have tutors, we have computers up there, and all the books. We have everything we need, and we're able to get up there and get some studying in. Really, the biggest thing for me was after class, I had to get it done right then. I couldn't wait till I got home after practice, because you're so worn out from practices, from workouts and meetings that you don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
So the big thing as an athlete for me was to get it done right after class, review the notes for that day, just go over any kind of homework you had, and really get it done before practice. That way, all the afternoon could be dedicated to football and learning everything you need for that.
Yeah. So what did you do when you guys had to go on the road? I mean, because, you know, road trips, if you're going across the country, you're flying a couple days in advance and
right.
you're practicing. How do you keep up with it that way?
A lot of the guys take stuff with them. They'll take books with them. They'll take homework with them. It's nice now because we leave right after the games. So we get back Saturday night, whether it's at 12 a.m., midnight, or even later. And we have all that Sunday to get homework done. I mean, we don't have anything on Sundays. You get Sundays off, and that's your day to get caught up on all the academics. You get all your homework done that day. And I always try to get ahead on that day to where the week could be just for game plan and to focus on my opponent. And then Sunday, you get caught up on everything you had to do.
So let's just nip an old myth in the bud. You don't get any special breaks on the academic side because you're an athlete, do you?
No, not at all. If anything, it's even harder because you have all eyes on you, and you got to be able to get the grade point average up because the team keeps track of that. And every year you have guys on your back on getting the team GPA up and making sure it stays up. And you got all eyes on you whenever you're in the classroom with the professors. They all know you're a student athlete. They're going to be watching you and making sure that you're not acting up in class, that you're doing the right thing, and that you're getting your homework done.
So, and you said the guys get on you on the team. That's the other players. That's not the coaches necessarily.
Yeah, it's everybody. You got the academic advisors getting on you. You got the coaches getting on you. And if it's bad enough, then you got your teammates getting on you, because if you're not performing in class, you can't perform on the field. You're going to get a suspension for having your grade point average too low, for failing a class. So if you can't perform in the class, then you can't perform on the field, which hurts not only you, but your team also.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your time and the fact that you've changed positions. And when you came in and you'd done really well in high school at offensive line, and you came in and they said, oh, we're going to put you at nose tackle.
Yeah. It was actually the first day after my first fall camp, they switched me over. So I got all that time at offensive line, and then the day after fall camp, they switched me over. But it was really nothing new to me. I was able to play a couple different positions in high school, so it was easy to kind of make that adjustment, even though there's a lot more to D-line in college than there is high school. But I always just wanted to pride myself in being versatile and really take on that 12th man persona that, I mean, you're ready for anything, anytime, whatever you're called upon to do.
You know, just that one change wasn't the last time that you changed. How did the fullback stuff come about?
The fullback stuff came up this last fall camp before my senior year. I was actually the goal line package fullback, and that was for every game. That started the first game of the year, and it was actually in the game plan almost every week. There was just some games that we couldn't get to that short yardage package to put me in the game.
Right.
And then after Alabama, we had a couple changes on the offense and defense, and I was able to go and win that spot and just take over not only short yardage, but throughout the whole field.
Had you played fullback before?
They tried to play me in high school one snap, and I fumbled the ball, and they never put me back there again. So, not really, but at the same time, I always thought my strong suit as an offensive lineman was being able to get to the second level, which is what fullback is, blocking second-level players, having to cover a distance before you get there and be able to break down. I always thought that was my strong suit, so I told the coaches, anywhere I can play, I want to play because I want to help the team win. I was starting to kind of get tired of being on the bench. You sit on the bench for so long behind a great player like Mike and the great guards and tackles we've had throughout the years here, and it kind of gets monotonous, and you kind of start doing the same thing over and over again. But once they moved me to that fullback position, the love of the game came back for me. And once I got that passion back for the game, it was easy to go and do whatever I needed to do with that position because it was easy to make myself put in the work.
Yeah. So did you have to go to separate meetings all week? So you went to the offensive line meetings and then you went to the backfield meetings? And
I actually just stayed in offensive line meetings the whole time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, offensive line meetings the whole time. I'd watch film of offensive line. I would do drills of offensive line. Then when it came to the team period in practice, I would go to fullback and play my fullback position.
Yeah.
So it was actually a lot of teaching myself outside of meetings and outside of practice the fullback position in order to get that, because I was still the backup center and I was still a backup guard at the same time. And that showed in the Liberty Bowl whenever I had to go in and play center.
Mm-hmm.
So the fullback position was a lot of teaching myself and a lot of outside practice and outside meeting preparation for me.
Yeah. From someone who watches, just let me ask this center question. So when you have to snap shotgun or pistol, you do that blind, right?
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
There's some snaps where you're looking through your legs and you got to snap it, which is even harder. Because then you got to look up and find the guy you're blocking. So snapping it blind is actually a lot easier because you're picturing the quarterback's chest, and it's just like throwing a pass between your legs.
So, and you've done it enough that it's not a big deal.
Right.
Not worry about throwing it over their head or to the sides or anything.
Yeah, there was a period where I was wild with it, but getting enough repetitions of it really makes it come second nature, and you don't even have to think about it anymore. You just go out there and play, and the ball ends up in the quarterback's hands.
Yeah. And then, you turn around, there it is, and you rock and roll.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about the touchdown that you scored but not.
Oh, I told Cedric that he owes me for that one, and he treated me well the whole time. But it really didn't hurt my feelings too much because the next play we were able to score and get the six on the board.
Well, so you got
to
tell us the story now so everybody knows what happened here.
All right, well, in the backfield, lining up in my fullback position.
What game was it?
We were playing Arkansas in the first quarter, and the first goal line play we had and Dallas Cowboys Stadium, which is a dream of mine to play in. The first goal line position we had, they called the pass to me. And I got the ball and scored. And I did my celebration where I didn't really know where I was because I was so excited. And then I saw the flag. And it all came down right then.
And the flag was for?
The flag was for Cedric Oboje being downfield. And he told me that he just didn't hear the play. He was too tired. And I understand that. I know exactly where he's coming from. And the play got called back for 5 yards and just replayed the down. And we were able to score the next play on a pass. So a lot of people – it actually didn't start bugging me too much until everyone started reminding me. And then getting all – having to remember that I had a touchdown in Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah.
That's when it started getting real, that it actually happened. And then it actually got called back.
So when they call a play like that and you know where it's coming.
Right.
Were you nervous? Were you excited? Or was it just this is the play, I've just got to play it, and you're just so focused and keyed in?
Yeah, I think you get nervous at first, but once you get on the field, you train your body to not think about anything and just go play. Once I got lined up, I was in my zone. We practiced it all week. We practiced it even before that week. You know, you get nervous at first, but whenever you get lined up and you get ready to play, you just forget about everything and go play ball. And when that ball came to me, there's no way I was going to drop it. And then I just turned around and got in the end zone.
You have had one of the distinctions to be on the team for 4 years.
Yes, sir.
And you have seen our football program transition from Big 12, former coach, to new coach, with the Johnny Manziel era, the Heisman Trophy, all the attention that comes from going into the SEC, suddenly playing in these venues like at Alabama, Jordan-Hare, where they're always full, everything is nuts, Mississippi, so forth and so on. What has that ride been like?
It's been wild because whenever you come in, you're going to the Big 12. You think you're going to a pretty high conference, and you are. It's great competition in the Big 12. And then you get to the SEC, and everything just kicks up a little bit. The game gets faster. the athletes get bigger and faster, stronger, and you got to go against people that are going to be playing on Sunday every week. Mm-hmm. So every week you're going against NFL talent, and it's going to be there next year and star in the NFL. And you just have to prepare that much more. We had the athletes too, so it was a smooth transition to the SEC because we were so athletic and we had so many good players on our team. But you go against those big, strong guys every week, and it's a long season.
Yeah.
The season takes a toll on your body, and you're never 100% after that first game because everyone's hitting as hard as they can. You're running into 300-pound linemen,
yeah,
and that are grown men.
Yeah,
and it's a rough season. But at the end of it, it's very rewarding.
Was there ever a time you just sat back and said, "Geez, I can't believe this is happening. I signed on to go to A&M. I was excited about that, and now look what's happening."
Whenever we started the stadium renovations, that's when it really hit me. Because I mean, you start getting all these facilities that are nicest in the country, and all these perks come with being an A&M football player now, and it's incredible. You see all the new facilities we get that we're lucky to have, that people have been generous enough to donate to us.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to work that much harder for it because you're not just playing for yourself anymore. You're playing for the 12th man. Mm-hmm. You're playing for everyone that's ever been to A&M and has the Aggie ring. It's a huge deal. And every time you step on the field, you're not just playing for yourself. You're playing for everyone that you represent.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your post-Texas A&M career. Of course, you know, you've got the academic side of things going. You've got that plan. But you really do want to play pro ball. You're going to take the route of a kind of an undrafted free agent.
Yes, sir.
So tell the audience a little bit about what that's like and what that entails and so some of your mental aspects to getting and doing that.
Well, it's a little bit different than being drafted because you don't really know if you're going to make a team, and if you do, what team you're going to make. You have a little bit of freedom in picking where you want to go if you have enough interest in you.
Mm-hmm.
But getting drafted, you're insured a spot in the camp. You're not insured a spot after that, but you're insured a spot in the camp, whereas being a free agent, you got to go make that camp, and you got to be invited to it and then perform. And you got to have a little chip on your shoulder, I guess. You have to be able to perform at a high enough level to where you get noticed.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be able to bring enough to that team where you bring more than someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's that someone else is someone that got drafted in the seventh round and you're an undrafted free agent. Maybe they have a little more leeway to mess something up. So you just got to make sure everything you're doing is perfect. And once you start going to perform, you just got to be able to shut everything off and just go play football like you always do.
Yeah.
So once you get on the field, it's not going to be any different. It's just going to be go play football like I have for the past 10 years of my life and put the pads on and just go try and hit somebody. But getting up to that point, the training's a little bit different, though.
Yeah.
You train a little bit harder. You got to do things a little bit differently. You got to find someone that can push you just as hard as you want to push them. And you got to be able to work together at the same time and just really, really push yourself to be the best you can be.
Because you're really – what you're training for right now is pro day, which
right.
is when the scouts from teams come in.
Right.
And they'll look, and you'll run through a variety of different exercises, for mm-hmm. lack of a better term at this point, the 40-yard dash, vertical jump, so forth and so on.
Right.
And so you're training for that. And that's – we said earlier, that's when, a couple weeks, right?
Yes, sir. 2 weeks from Wednesday, March 4th.
And then from there – then we'll find out how you do.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Right now, I'm just training for the test. So it's different than training for a football game because you're
right.
training for drills. You're training to run a 40-yard dash, which as offensive lineman and tight end, you don't really do.
Not much.
Yeah, unless you're running a go route as a tight end, and they don't really let me do that. So you're training for drills instead of training for a football game. So it's a little bit different, but at the same time, you're still doing some of the things you've always done.
Yeah. So one of those we talked about earlier, and just give the audience a little bit of sense about how physical this is. You were talking a little bit earlier about training, and one of the drills that they do is to see how many times you can lift, 225 pounds?
Yes, sir.
Bench press 225
pounds.
Mm-hmm. How many times can you bench press 225 pounds?
I haven't actually done it fresh yet, but...
Okay, so we'll say, so this is when you're tired, right?
Yeah. I'm usually in the mid to low 20s right now, which is about where I want to be at going in as a tight end.
Yeah.
As an offensive lineman, you want to be a little higher, but going into where I am, I'm trying to be able to go back and forth between tight end and offensive lineman. So I'm trying to go more as a tight end to where my weight's a little bit lower and I can just put on the weight instead of having to take it off.
Yeah.
So mid to low 20s is where about usually where I'm at.
Excellent. So for all of you that are listening, go down to your local gym, put on 225 pounds on the bar, and just lay down. Let's see how many times you can do it. You can report back to us. I'm actually, if any of you take this experiment, let us know. We'll give you a T-shirt for doing that. Let us know how you do. And then you can compare yourself with someone who may be going into the NFL before we know it here.
Yes, sir.
So, Ben, it's been great to have you.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been awesome.
Yeah. So, as you know, this is the time of the podcast when we ask our guests to give us a take-home message. If there's anything that you want people to remember from this podcast, what would it be?
The one thing I've learned from playing football at Texas A&M is there's really no such thing as leading by example. They kind of taught me that. That's just another way of saying you're doing your job. Mm. Where leading by example, people think of working hard, staying after to do extra, being on the field every day that you're supposed to be on the field. And that's all stuff that you're kind of supposed to do. Whenever you want to be a leader, you kind of have to be able to have people follow you. And you're not going to really get anyone to follow you if you're just doing your job and doing what you need to do. It's all about the team, really. And to be able to bring someone along with you and be able to motivate them, being a leader is all about being able to motivate people. And we had some great leaders here at A&M whenever I was on the team, and they got me to where I am today. And they were able to bring me along and push me through the days where you don't really want to get up and work out, or you don't really want to get up and go to practice. And they don't push themselves, they push you, and they make the whole team better. Mm-hmm. So being a leader is really about making everyone around you better while being the best you can be. Mm-hmm. So you lead by example, but you also have to be able to communicate to other people what it takes to be great. Since I've been here at A&M, I've seen some amazing leaders. Coach Sumlin, being the head guy, is a great leader, and he gets everyone to be on board with his program, and he instills in us that we're going to do things the right way, and we're going to do things his way, and it's going to work, and it's going to benefit us in the end.
Great take-home message. Thank you again for being with us today, Ben.
Thank you, Dr. Lightfoot. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. For those of you that are regular listeners, you know this is the time of the podcast when we also do the podcast question of the week. And here with the podcast question of the week is producer Ayland.
How many practice hours a week are allowed by the NCAA?
Great podcast question, Ayland. Thanks for that. Be the first one to send us an email with the correct answer, and we'll send you one of those nifty podcast T-shirts. Again, send that email to huffinesinstitute@hlkn.tamu.edu. And we hope that we have all of you join us next week when we have another interesting person from the world of sports medicine and human performance. And until that time, we hope you stay active and healthy. Now, as most of you know, we record these podcasts usually a couple weeks in advance of when we air them. And so from this podcast, you heard that Ben was going to be doing his pro days in a couple of weeks. Well, those pro days just happened a few days ago, and he did really well. He did 20 repetitions in the bench press. He ran an excellent 4.58 in the 5.10.5 shuttle, and a little slower than he wanted in the 40-yard dash at 5.1. There were 36 scouts from 28 different NFL teams there. So Ben did a great job, and we wish him well with his aspirations.
The Sports Medicine Podcast is produced by Ayland Letzinger and licensed by the Huffines Institute at Texas A&M under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. You can share it as much as you want, and you can talk or blog about it all you want. Just don't change it or charge money for it. This podcast is made possible by support from the Omar Smith family and the Sidney and J.L. Huffines family. Our music was composed, performed, and graciously provided by Dave Zeltner Productions, your source for quality music and music production since 1992. Find them at www.davidzeltner.com. Our opening and closing credits were provided by johnmilesproductions.com. If you have questions or comments, please send them to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. From all of us at the Huffines Institute, we hope you have an active and healthy week.